It's 12:03 minus 7 seconds. Of course, naturally, brain damage is delayed to protect the innocent and sometimes the guilty. The name of me is Matt. The name of you is whatever you want to be at some given point in time. But you know the usual thing. The number is 632-6901, and we actually have a topic tonight. A couple of people, actually, I believe it's a group of five, are putting together a documentary on the experience of throwing up. You know, barfing, driving the porcelain bus, Ralphing, you name it. We do it here on Brain Damage. So I decided to offer them a little bit of help. So, you will provide me with your most interesting, awful, sordid, pleasurable barfing experiences. This will then be put on a tape, as it is now, and will be sent to these people. And maybe, just maybe, if you're really interesting, they might call you back and put you in their documentary. You never know. An indie documentary. Hey, we're moving up in the world. Now, of course, I may be a bit premature offering up this bribe to have interesting callers, but you don't know that, do you? So, I mean real barfing experiences. Just to give you a little bit of a hint of what they have now, only a small percentage of it is related to drinking, which means stomach viruses, which means, I don't know, looking at Dennis Franz's bare butt. Anything that would make you barf and has made you barf can qualify here. So, we will go to the phones. I have the poetry guy waiting. And I don't know if he's going to be dealing with barfing, but I'll take whatever he's willing to offer. So, you're on Brain Damage.
Hey, what's up? Well, I couldn't exactly decide on what to read tonight, but I have a few choices.
Okay.
First, I had, you know, some poetry,
mm-hmm.
and I had, like, a few stories we could choose from, and then I also had this really interesting article about torture, about the possibility of torturing people who have planted bombs, but they won't tell you where they are.
That should be really interesting. Now, is this an article on how effective it can be, or how right it is, or what?
Morally, yeah. You know, morally making the choice to do that.
Mm-hmm. Now, what publication is this in?
Well, this was in Newsweek, and it was in, like, 1982.
Wow.
And, you know, I thought it might be relevant, especially because recently they were talking about, you know, the Israeli-Arab thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, you know, because a few months ago they had the World Trade Center bombing.
Actually, this might fit in very well when we're talking about torturing to get bomb information out of somebody and also vomiting. Kind of like Clockwork Orange, don't you think?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So go ahead. Try the article.
Okay. Okay, it was in Newsweek in 1982,
mm-hmm.
and it's by Michael Levin. It's called The Case for Torture. It is generally assumed that torture is impermissible, a throwback to a more brutal age. Enlightened societies reject it outright, and regimes suspected of using it risk the wrath of the United States. I believe this attitude is unwise. There are situations in which torture is not merely permissible, but morally mandatory. Moreover, these situations are moving from the realm of imagination to fact. Suppose a terrorist has hidden an atomic bomb on Manhattan Island, which will detonate at noon on July 4th, unless, and here follow the usual demands for money and release of his friends from jail. Suppose further that he is caught at 10 a.m. of the fateful day, but, preferring death to failure, will not disclose where the bomb is. What do we do? If we follow due process, wait for his lawyer, arraign him, millions of people will die. If the only way to save those lives is to subject the terrorist to the most excruciating possible pain, what grounds can there be for not doing so? I suggest there are none. In any case, I ask you to face the question with an open mind. Torturing the terrorist is unconstitutional? Probably. But millions of lives surely outweigh constitutionality. Torture is barbaric. Mass murder is more barbaric. Indeed, letting millions of innocents die in deference to one who flaunts his guilt is moral cowardice, an unwillingness to dirty one's hands. If you caught the terrorist, could you sleep nights knowing that millions died because you couldn't bring yourself to apply the electrodes? Once you concede that torture is justified in extreme cases, you have admitted that the decision to use torture is a matter of balancing innocent lives against the means needed to save them. You must now face more realistic cases involving more modest murders. Someone plants a bomb on a jumbo jet. He alone can disarm it, and his demands cannot be met. Or if they can, we refuse to set a precedent by yielding to his threats. Surely we can. We must do anything to the extortionist to save the passengers. How can we tell 300 or 100 or 10 people who never asked to be put in danger, "I'm sorry, you'll have to die in agony. We just couldn't bring ourselves to..." Here are the results of an informal poll about a third hypothetical case. Suppose a terrorist group kidnapped a newborn baby from a hospital. I asked four mothers if they would approve of torturing kidnappers if they were necessary to get their own newborns back. All said yes, the most liberal adding that she would like to administer it herself. I am not advocating torture as punishment. Punishment is addressed to deeds irrevocably past. Rather, I am advocating torture as an acceptable measure for preventing future evils. So, understand, it is far less objectionable than many extant punishments. Opponents of the death penalty, for example, are forever insisting that executing a murderer will not bring back his victim, as if the purpose of capital punishment were supposed to be resurrection, not deference or retribution. But torture, in the cases described, is intended not to bring anyone back, but to keep innocents from being dispatched. The most powerful argument against using torture as a punishment or to secure confessions is that such practices disregard the rights of the individual. Well, if the individual is all that important, and he is, it is correspondingly important to protect the rights of individuals threatened by terrorists. If life is so valuable that it must never be taken, the lives of the innocents must be saved even at the price of hurting the one who endangers them. Better precedents for torture are assassination and preemptive attack. No Allied leader would have flinched at assassinating Hitler had that been possible. The Allies did assassinate Heydrich. Americans would be angered to learn that Roosevelt could have had Hitler killed in 1943, thereby shortening the war and saving millions of lives, but refused on moral grounds. Similarly, if Nation A learns that Nation B is about to launch an unprovoked attack, A has a right to save itself by destroying B's military capability first. In the same way, if the police can, by torture, save those who would otherwise die at the hands of kidnappers or terrorists, they must. There is an important difference between terrorists and their victims that should mute talk of all terrorists' rights. The terrorists' victims are at risk unintentionally, not having asked to be endangered. But the terrorist knowingly initiated his actions. Unlike his victims, he volunteered for the risks of his deed. By threatening to kill for profit or idealism, he renounced civilized standards, and he can have no complaint if civilization tries to thwart him by whatever means necessary. Just as torture is justified only to save lives, not extort confessions or recantations, it is justifiably administered only to those known to hold innocent lives in their hands. Ah, but how can the authorities ever be sure they have the right malefactor? Isn't there a danger of error and abuse? Won't we turn into them? Questions like these are disingenuous in a world in which terrorists proclaim themselves and perform for television. The name of their game is public recognition. After all, you can't very well intimidate a government into releasing your freedom fighters unless you announce that it is your group that has seized its embassy. Clear guilt is difficult to define. But when 40 million people see a group of masked gunmen seize an airplane on the evening news, there is not much question about who the perpetrators are. There will be hard cases where the situation is murkier. Nonetheless, a line demarcating the legitimate use of torture can be drawn. Torture only the obviously guilty, and only for the sake of saving innocence, and the line between us and them will remain clear. There is little danger that the Western democracies will lose their way if they choose to inflict pain as one way of preserving order. Paralysis in the face of evil is the greater danger. Someday soon, a terrorist will threaten tens of thousands of lives, and torture will be the only way to save them. We had better start thinking about this. That was in Newsweek.
Very good. Relevant as much now as it is, as it was then.
Yeah.
But
I'm surprised. I never really heard this issue really raised before.
Actually, I'm just trying to think about some of the things I've read, spy novels and stuff like that, and what they've done in the art of torture these days, such as sensory deprivation. You know, a lot of stuff that isn't so much pain inflicting as it is playing with one's head. And they found, actually, that torture in itself, inflicting pain, doesn't always work very well, especially if your victim is very well educated and also very much up on what he's doing. It's much easier to play a head game. That's why they have psychologists involved on at the time, both sides of the Cold War, trying to do this. If you read some of Tom Clancy's books, that's used a lot. They don't like to use torture on the really high level of intelligence because they find that when you're dealing with trained personnel or educated people, it doesn't work very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's a very fine line because you ask Lee Kuan Yew of Singapore. I bring up Singapore because it's a perfect example where the line is, and he'll say it's in a quite different place from where, let's say, Bill Clinton would.
Right.
Okay. His line is drawn at chewing and dropping a wad of gum into a subway door.
Yeah, the definition becomes, it can be pretty different.
You get the idea?
Yeah.
I mean, actually, Confucius had that line drawn there, too. That's where the whole thing came from, Confucianism, being extremely severe with infractions to prevent them from happening. Of course, I don't think Confucius had any idea of banning satellite dishes or controlling the press or doing anything like that, because most of those things didn't even exist in his time. He was more concerned about maintaining order in the streets, thieves, the usual common garden variety criminals.
How do you mean? How did Confucius mean extremes with infractions?
Being very tough, being very explicit, knowing exactly what if you do something, you know what you're going to get, and you're going to get it hard.
Right.
Not necessarily death, but death in far more cases than Westerners would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And even the Western civilizations, up until about 100 years ago, England, up until 1832, had 200 crimes that were punishable by death.
Oh, right, yeah.
Reduced to 4 in 1832.
Hmm. Because that's like, you know, what they do in the Middle East. I mean, you know.
The same thing.
Yeah, they cut off your hand, they cut off your genitals. It's pretty severe.
That's right. But on the other hand, one problem with that, with theirs, is that it isn't equitably enforced in many areas. And also, you know, it's different. Men and women are treated differently. Your station in life is treated differently. So they have problems with that.
Yeah, that's... It's more like, I think, like a caste system, where I think it's sort of like that.
And not only that, as is typical with theocracies and religious laws, what the religion says isn't always what the people do.
Right.
And that's always been a problem. But the Islamic fundamentalists, who are scared to death about the modernization of the world, they think it's Western influence. It's no longer Western influence. The whole world is starting to modernize. They start to retreat back to the 13th century laws, which they feel is, people think it's part of the religion. It isn't. It's a code of laws imposed by religious leaders in the 13th to 14th century, around that time, with religion in mind, but isn't part of the Quran. Sharia and Quran are two quite different things, but that's another story.
Mm.
But you bring up an incredible question. Where do you draw the line at torture? Hey, some of the prank callers here I'd like to see get caned.
Really?
Yeah, but I'm not in charge. And if I were running the country, I sure as hell wouldn't actually do that. But on the other hand, would I do it myself? Yes.
I'll tell you what. If you're interested, I came up with a possibility for dealing with the guy who keeps calling the tape, something a little creative with him.
Oh, go for it.
Okay, if he calls up, I mean, I'll be willing to, like, maybe stay on the line for a little bit. But what I would do is, like, he keeps playing the same tape, and it's like he's calling in, like, a call-in show for, like, help. I could, like, pretend I was, like, a psychologist.
But if you listen to the tape, and I hate overanalyzing this guy, because when you start to overanalyze such a shallow mind, drives you nuts too. That's torture in itself. You'll find that there is a low pitched voice. Someone is responding. It was a tape off a call that was actually made.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, my thought was just, if you wanted to, you know, diffuse it somewhere, change the emphasis, that would be one creative, you know, suggestion I had.
I got something else up my sleeve. I do. Mm-hmm. And it may or may not involve you somewhere in the show. What I am going to do is, I got Mike and Jim on the line. If you want to hang out for a little while and talk with them, you know, I can do that. I can put you in with them.
Okay. And then I just had, like, one more thing to say.
Sure.
Also, you know, remember last week I was talking about possibly doing some sort of, you know, creative thing?
Yes.
I thought it might be interesting, like, possibly if, like, everybody, you know, as many people as we could get listening to the show could, like, write a part of a story, and, like, we could all put it together and read from it when we call, and, you know, read it as if it were one story.
Yes, I think I know exactly what you're talking about. What you and I have to do is start it. We start with something, maybe with Once Upon a Time or some crazy thing like that, and then have people work on it from there. But, of course, you realize what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Well, on the other hand, that may be the adventure of it. We don't know what we're going to get.
Really?
Yeah, let's try it. You want to start, let's see, you want to start tonight or next time I'm on?
Okay, well, until next time you're on.
3 weeks from now.
3 weeks. Yeah, why don't we wait till then?
Okay, but folks, this is the direction that we're going to do. We're going to do this. We're going to start it. I believe the 20th is the next time I'm on. So be ready. Keep your ears open. We don't know what kind of story we're going to start out with yet, but keep things in your mind. Keep things going on. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you on hold for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then pick you up from the other line and put you together with Mike and Jim.
All right.
Hang on. Hi, guys.
How you doing?
Been listening?
Yep.
Good. So, what do you think about that?
Story?
Yeah.
That's a decent idea.
Yeah.
You might get a lot of stupid stuff, though.
Well, that's to be expected. But on the other hand, they don't call this show brain damage for nothing.
Yeah, that's true. I'm talking about stupid, though, like, space robots and...
Well, hey, I think we pretty much buried that one. That thing, that got old. And, of course, then there's the other little thing we can do about that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, bleep them out.
Yeah.
As soon as they get stupid, just cut them off.
That's right.
That's what we talked about last week.
Yeah, and then we just backtrack to where the last interesting person left off. Say, okay, pick up off that and forget what the other idiot said.
Yep.
Okay, I'm gonna pick somebody up here and put them in with you.
All right.
Okay. We gotta get better phones here.
Not working too well?
No, they work fine. The only trouble is I have to hit all these keys in order to do something that with some other phones you do with one key. Yeah, it's really wild. But these phones were designed in like 1986, so what do you expect? Okay, guys, keep an ear open because I may be able to use you later on. Okay? Stick around. Okay, so it's 12:23 here. I'm going to take a break here. I'm going to play a song from a band called Pork, Grand Slam Baby, here on 90.1 FM WUSB. The rest of you stick around because I'm going to get to you while the song's playing. Hi, folks. I'm back. Sorry about the extended... guitar note there, but faded out a little bit more quickly than expected. But on the other hand, this is live radio. So you hear what you hear, and what was that? You hear what you see, and you see what you hear, or no, you get what you hear, and hear what you get, or that's better. You get what you hear, and you hear what you get. So, we are back. And I do want to bring one person up in particular, because it gives me a chance to relay some important information. Hi there. I'm putting you on now because the question you asked me is relevant to the listening public.
Okay.
As far as actually becoming part of WUSB. Yes, you can be. The trick of how to do it, however, is that you have to go through, I believe, it's a 10-week training session here at WUSB.
Okay.
Takes the better part of a semester. And it's only up running the fall and the spring. It's not a four-credit course, I'm afraid.
Right.
Although I sometimes think it should be, because we cover just as much as any three-credit course in the university does.
Is it an expensive course?
I believe the fee these days is about $50.
Oh, that's
so
not that bad.
It's not a lot. It's less than what you pay for a course at the university, obviously. And all that does is cover the cost of materials and partially compensates the instructor for his time. Not even close to what he'd get if he actually taught a university course, but that's another story.
And is it a hard course? Or how coming from somebody who does this you say you've been doing it for 3 years, do you consider it, when you started, did you consider it a hard process, or did you...
Not at all. It is designed so that you will pass it. It is not, I mean, it's not supposed to be ridiculously easy, although it should be. With a little practice, everything becomes second nature.
True.
You are tested on it, but you don't fail the test. If you get too many things wrong, we make you take the test again and again until you get it right.
Okay.
We do not want to discourage people from joining. We want people just to get it right.
True. When, and it's for the fall and for the spring?
Exactly.
And you can register for it any time up until what period, do you know?
I believe the first session is September 20th. I'm not absolutely sure. Call the number you just called during
okay.
business hours, and you can ask then, because then there'll be somebody around who would know exactly.
And what are the business? What are the hours there?
9 to 5 is usually pretty good.
9 to 5, the business hours.
Yeah, well, that's quote unquote business hours, but it's usually when the general manager or somebody else is around.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and I hope the quality of conversation gets a little more intelligent. Well, actually, for the whole night.
Good.
Okay.
I hope so, too.
Thank you.
Have fun. Okay, folks, I do have a couple other callers waiting who I managed to get to during the break, and you're on.
Hey, what's up?
Hi, what's going on?
Nothing really. I just want to say the show has seemed to, like, changed a lot.
Since when?
Well, I haven't listened in, like, a few weeks, so I haven't really been home. But since last time I listened, it seems like a lot more worthwhile people have decided to call.
Yeah, I know. It's incredible, isn't it?
And a lot of the conversations are actually, like, kind of interesting. Does it make me want to fall asleep and turn the radio off?
Cool. Okay, so you wanted to bring up something related to our initial topic here.
What was the initial topic?
The initial topic was, and yeah, since I last talked about half an hour ago, I should bring it up again, is there is a group of people in New York City that are producing a documentary on barfing, vomiting, ralphing, you know, same, all basically the same thing.
Lovely.
Their people will relate their most interesting experiences, either most painful or sometimes most pleasurable, because I'll tell you something, when your stomach is raging and you finally do get it up, you actually feel kind of relieved at the end. So,
what do you want me to share one of my experiences?
If you'd like. Doesn't necessarily have to be related to drinking. Surprisingly enough, from what I've been told, only a fraction of the material that they received is related to drinking, but it can be, you know, anything that makes you puke.
Oh, fun! And how long have they been producing this documentary?
I think they've been working on for a couple of months now.
Why? What sparked this? What's the whole purpose?
It's an independent film documentary. I don't know exactly how it came about, but we're going to have a couple of the producers on in about 3 weeks or so, and we'll go over it then. So this is going to be an ongoing thing on brain damage. I'm going to be sending them whatever material I can get here.
So we'll be able to listen to.
Hmm?
This is the last show I'll be able to listen to.
Oh, why?
I'm moving to California at night.
Oh, that's right. You called me about that a long time ago.
A long, long time ago. A few months ago. Yeah, I'm leaving this coming Saturday.
Great. Believe it or not, I'm winging my way out there for a week myself, starting Monday.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
It's one of the reasons why I'm not going to be here.
Yeah, I'm leaving next Saturday, because we're flying out of New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
Because it's about, for 2 one-way tickets, it's about $1,100 cheaper than it is to fly to New York City.
You're kidding. Out of Newark?
Yeah, because they some Sunjet airline, or probably some rinky-dink airline with a little jet plane that's going to, like, crash or something.
But no, what's the name of the airline?
Sunjet.
Sunjet?
Yeah, because it's about $129 per ticket.
Wow.
Called around, and that's for a one-way ticket. And we called around the city, you know, out of MacArthur, LaGuardia, or Kennedy, and the cheapest price you got was $695 per ticket.
Tell me something. This segues beautifully into two things. First of all, do they provide a parachute?
Oh, God, I hope so.
And second of all, do they provide fairly substantial barf bags?
Oh, I hope so.
Because I'll tell you something. If you do have an experience like that on the flight in and on some of these airplanes, you never know. Call me back and tell me about it, because we can definitely use it for the documentary.
Oh, my God. I hope to God it's, like, some safe airplane that's not going to, like, crash, and hope they have, like, each four exits over the wing.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God, I'm scared, but I'll get over it.
Or maybe you're just going to be on with the American Parachuting Society, and they're supposed to jump out. That's an old Odd Couple episode, by the way. If you catch reruns of The Odd Couple on the various channels, broadcast and cable, that it's on these days, you'll find that's a really funny one. Felix gets this really cheap flight, kind of like the same way you did.
Uh-huh.
And he hooked up with a charter. The person at the desk said, "Oh, you're with the group, right?" Said, "Yeah, sure. What group?" Yeah, he didn't know what group it was. That's what group it was.
Oh, my God. It makes you want to wonder, though, because my dad talked to the travel agents, you know, at that and stuff, you know, with Sunjet Airlines.
Mm-hmm.
And, if you don't get there, we have to be there 2 hours before the plane takes off. And if you're not there 2 hours before the plane takes off, they'll sell your tickets.
Oh, boy, this is going to be a wild ride.
Oh, isn't it? That's why we're driving to New Jersey the day before, because our flight leaves Sunday.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to stay in a hotel. He doesn't want to miss it.
Yeah.
Because we've missed our flights a couple times before in the past because of, like, stupid incidents and stuff, and they do not want it to happen again.
Anything related to vomiting?
No, nothing related to vomiting.
Oh, you didn't, like, barf in the taxi or something? Oh. Okay, but that's interesting. Tell me about the experience also, because who knows, I might end up using them myself, if it's any good.
Oh, with the barf bags?
Oh, with the parachutes, the barf bags, the whatever, the St. Christopher statues, plastic Jesus on the dashboard, the whole thing.
You make me feel so comfortable.
I'm sure it's going to be a fine ride. Don't worry about it. And if you don't see propellers turning on the plane, it's okay. They're not supposed to be there.
Oh, my God.
It's a jet. They don't have propellers.
I'm going to die. I'm going to die.
No, you'll be fine. You will be fine. You will be fine. Trust me.
Oh, Lordy, I'm shaking right now.
Hey, I just finished the flight course. I just finished flight school. They're putting me on the plane. I'm the captain, you know?
Okay. I'm calm now.
Enjoy.
That makes me feel just a whole lot better.
Enjoy.
Oh, do you think you could park me on the side somewhere?
Sure. Maybe these guys can make you feel good again. Who knows? Hi, I got a basket case waiting for you guys.
Yeah, put it on.
That's all I noticed.
Okay. Now, don't scare her. Have fun, folks. Nice little feature on the phone, provided it's used correctly. You're on brain damage.
Hello?
Hi, what do you got?
Hi, Matt. How you doing?
Pretty good.
I got a song that will make you throw up.
Hello? Okay, yeah, let's try it.
Listen, first, just think about what you eat.
What I eat?
Yeah, what you eat.
Well, let's see. This might actually make me puke in and of itself, because what I just had is I had a bag of Cool Ranch Doritos, which isn't quite finished yet, and a French vanilla coffee from 7-Eleven with Mocha Swiss artificial whatever in it.
Mm-hmm.
So if that combination doesn't make me puke, your song probably won't either. But go ahead.
It won't make you puke. It'll just make you think about what you eat. All right?
Go for it.
It's called Inside Your Food, and it's a song. It starts out slow, so don't hang up, all right?
Sure.
First, let's check out some ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
How about this one? Pistachio almond fruit fudge butterscotch delight. Ingredients: zinc trisodium aspartate, sorbitol and bisulfate, oxide beta carotene, lactic acid carabine, and grainy milk emulsified, maltodextrin alkaline, silicon dioxide, flavored sugar, that's all right, now calcified synthetic salt, artificial barley malt, glycerin and aspartate, folic acid, that tastes great, monosodium glutamate, dehydrated calcinate, soybean oil, butter, fat, caramel center, and with that, we all eat this a lot. We all eat this a lot, no matter what we thought, yes, we throw it in our bodies, and it makes our insides rot. Here's a candy bar, you've tried it, hey, let's all see what's inside it. Gelatinized triglycerin, phosphate, soybean, lecithin, deoxylite, trisilicon, chemicals, go on and on, citrus enzymes, PhD, powdered milk, there's more, you see, baking soda, carob gum, carbohydrates, you want some, monosodium glutamate, zinc disodium homogenate, whole wheat, whole grain flour, yeast, and fat, who will eat this, will do that, we all like this a lot, it makes our insides rot, and we throw it in our bodies, it's the only one we've got, we're ruining our life, la 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 la. Chemicals in our body deteriorating our stomach. Hello?
Yes, yes. The man is a genius. What can I say?
What?
You're incredible. You make everything rhyme. You make the ingredients of a Snickers bar rhyme. You're a genius.
Okay, I'm listening to your show tonight, and I didn't listen last week, and I heard that SR was dead.
Yes, it is.
Good for it.
Short-circuited itself into oblivion.
Good. It deserved it.
Yeah.
And,
Maximum Rock and Roll presents the Diesel Queens versus the Insaints. So, what we got here? How about I Love Cheese? The only trouble is, you know what really turns you off about these 45s or 7-inch singles that are on 33 or whatever? The trouble with these stupid things is, in many occasions, you don't know what song is on which side. I got one where they say, sorry, we put the labels on wrong. Not good if you're a DJ and you got 2 seconds to your next cut. But this is cool. The first time I saw this was on a Weird Al Yankovic album. But occasionally, the artist will write something, engrave something in the vinyl or in the mold, which then becomes the vinyl record. So let me try to read this in the light here. In my mind's eye, my thoughts light fires in your cities. What does the other side say? Tickle, ickle, ickle, my... What? Sorry, can't say that on the radio. So, I Love Cheese or Manson Family Feud? I think I'll go with Manson Family Feud. You know, kind of like a segue out of last week's show. So, without further ado... Things were never the same once they sent Charlie up. 12:43 here on WUSB. Got a few people waiting. You're on Brain Damage.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, it's time for another useless fact.
Go for it.
Fish has no brain.
What has no brain? What fish has no brain?
The starfish.
The starfish has no brain?
Yes.
So how does it operate?
Useless fact.
Useless fact that a starfish has no brain. Okay, you're welcome. Wow. Will the world ever be the same now that we know the starfish has no brain? Brain Damage.
Will the world ever be the same?
They sneak in no matter how hard you try. Okay, what shall we do next? I don't know. What shall we do next? Go back to these guys. Hi, folks.
Hello.
Hi. So, how's she feeling?
Oh, we're making her feel better.
Thank you very much.
Oh, how are you doing that?
What?
No, I'm talking to the guys.
Oh, we're telling her that if she crashes, you know, don't worry about it. She won't feel a thing.
Okay, is a poetry guy around?
Yeah, right here.
Do you have the Reached Up and Touched the Face of God poem on hand?
Reach up and touch the face of God?
It was written by a Spitfire pilot during World War II. It's a very famous poem. Virtually anybody involved with aviation knows it. Unfortunately, I don't have it in front of me.
It's called that?
No. That's the last line.
Oh.
Matt.
Yes?
Somebody's going to call you later on, a female. She's going to give you some information on someone.
Matt. Oh, really?
Yes.
Incredible.
Matt.
Yes?
Something I got to tell you. This isn't Mike, the one that you think it is.
I'm getting confused here because there's more than one Mike, but...
This is Mike from...
I'm from Quorum. You're thinking of Mike from Unconscious.
Yeah.
Oh. Sorry.
That's a different one, because you always think... And I'm afraid one day you're going to ask me a question about the previous shows or something. I'm not going to know what the hell to say.
Yeah. Okay, so there's more... I know there's more than one Mike around, but I keep getting confused as to which one I'm talking to.
Yeah, it's the one from Quorum.
Yeah.
I think I'm the only one from Quorum, right?
I think so, but you know what? Tell me... Whenever you tell me who you are... Tell me that you're Mike from Quorum, because I get so many calls here, as you know.
Yeah.
And I often get confused.
There are a lot of Mike that call.
What was that? I'm so popular, yes.
Everybody loves you. Everybody wants to call Brain Damage.
God knows why.
I'm one of the men.
Yo, Matt, if you want to hear some more poetry, I'm sort of in the mood for reading. I don't know.
Go for it. Yeah. Okay, keep it short. Something about sonnet length.
Okay, all right.
Go for it.
All right, let me see. Are we on now?
Yes, we are.
Oh, we are. Okay. Yeah. Hang on. Let me flip around. Okay. Okay, I got one here. Mm-hmm. You ever hear of D.H. Lawrence?
Yes, I do. Oh, yeah. You got something from D.H. Lawrence?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm drooling.
the English are so nice. The English are so nice. So awfully nice. They're the nicest people in the world. And what's more, they're very nice about being nice, about your being nice as well. If you're not nice, they soon make you feel it. Americans and French and Germans and so on, they're all very well. But they're not really nice, you know? They're not as nice in our sense of the word, are they now? That's why one doesn't have to take them seriously. We must be nice to them, of course. Of course, naturally. But it doesn't really matter what you say to them. They don't really understand. You can just say anything to them. Be nice, you know, just be nice. But you must never take them seriously. They wouldn't understand. Just be nice, you know. Oh, fairly nice. Not too nice, of course. They take advantage. But nice enough, just nice enough, to let them feel they're not quite as nice as they might be.
Very nice.
Hey, Matt.
Yes.
I have a poem too.
Go for it.
Once was a man from Nantucket.
No. Not on the radio.
Just kidding.
Yeah, I know. I have that one ingrained in my mind after having seen it on so many bathroom walls, I've lost count.
I don't even know the whole thing of it. I just, like, know two sentences of it.
Well, two sentences are bad enough. The only one, only two marginally clean sentences, lines in that limerick are, he said with a grin as he wiped off his chin. That's it. That's all I can get away with on the radio.
I hear people swear. I swear, last week, just before Brain Damage, there was something, there was like this show, it was like a one-man show.
Yes.
And he was swearing. He said the F word a few times.
Really?
I'm serious.
Now, was this live on mic? Just a second. Keep talking for a second.
Mm-hmm.
This was live on mic?
Yeah, I don't know if it was live or recorded, but he was swearing.
There seems to be an artificial line drawn between live and recorded. Recorded, I could get away with at this hour, after 12, if I warn people in advance. Let's say I've got this cut coming up on record here, and if a curse slips through, I can always say, folks, a curse might slip through, be aware of it, and if it bothers you, listen to something else. I doubt it bothers anybody who calls this show, but I have to do that anyway. But I can't recite the Man from Nantucket limerick. Also, one reason is the FCC. The other reason is station rules. I can't. I can have Lenny Bruce or somebody recite it on a record. Lenny Bruce is dead, but you get the idea. On a record, no problem. I could play, I could probably not get away with the seven dirty words from George Carlin. But I could play something that has a little bit of a slip in it. Again, get away with it, but I can't do it myself. I can't even have a live band do it.
Oh, wow.
It's
that's intentional, then.
I'm not so sure if it's intentional or that just seems to be the precedent around here. I'm not sure if there's a clearly written rule on it. That's the biggest problem. That's our biggest debate with the FCC now, with radio stations, is that the rule is very hard to define. Just like there was one Supreme Court judge that said, I can't define obscenity, I just know it when I see it. That's what it is these days. And, of course, with the changing morals of the time, and the changing morals of our listeners, especially ones who listen after midnight, you can never really be the judge.
Isn't there a certain time you can do it without, with getting away with it?
Well, the closest thing to getting away with it would be between midnight and 6 a.m. That's considered the safe harbor period by judicial precedent. Keep talking for just a second.
I've heard it. I've heard people on BAI swear at that hour.
I've heard people on this, at 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, like, really swearing. It's a song in it. Not just really a couple of slip-ups. Those are, like, major verses in it. But they warn you. They go, if you don't like it, just change the station.
Exactly. That's another thing that college radio ideally can get rid of. But then there's another issue. One of the things the FCC likes to do is pick on smaller stations that don't have the wherewithal for proper judicial recourse. And that's an ongoing problem we've had. Howard Stern gets trouble from the FCC all the time, but Howard Stern also has a whole staff of lawyers who can fight back. And one of the nice things about Howard Stern's lawyers fighting back is that whenever they win, they set a judicial precedent for the rest of us that protects us. That's one of the reasons why I like Howard Stern, by the way.
Oh, did you see the new T-shirts promoting Howard Stern for governor?
I don't know if... Let's see, maybe I would. The only reason I might not vote for Howard Stern for governor is because he might take votes away from any of Cuomo's other opponents who would have a better chance to win.
He's got some good ideas, though.
Oh, yeah. The all road work at night idea is actually practiced in most of the country. Not around here, unfortunately, but that's another story. The other ideas, I think, are pretty much carried over by guys like Pataki, who is Cuomo's biggest opponent and also is barely ahead of him in the polls, last I heard. Very slim margin, if he's ahead at all.
I haven't kept up in the elections at all or whatever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if I was old enough to vote and if I could vote, I don't know if I would vote for him as governor, but I would support, like, a lot of his ideas and stuff, and I'd promote that.
Oh, yeah.
I think his biggest voting population would be the 18-year-olds and the teenagers.
Probably,
early
20s. Yeah. The teenagers are, you know, because they all listen to his radio show, and I think it's his television show was canceled, but because I haven't seen around, but a lot of people
It has been.
And he gets a lot of support from, like, young adults and younger viewers and younger listeners.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He does. And, unfortunately, there are two problems with that. One is that a lot of them aren't old enough to vote. And number two, those that are don't have enough incentive to vote when they can. One of the biggest problems that we've had in the entire country is that when they lowered the voting age to 18, they figured there'd be a whole flow of new voters. Didn't happen.
What was it before, 21?
It varied state to state. Some had it as low as 18, some had it as high as 21.
But that doesn't make any sense, though, to have it at a different age and, like, as you go from state to state.
Hey, there was a time before women were given the vote nationwide that in some states women voted and others they didn't. Election laws, for the most part, are put together by the states. The federal government has guidelines. The federal government can dictate how its elections are run, but they can't dictate necessarily, except through constitutional amendment, how the state elections are run. So what they've done for the most part is all the state rules apply with a couple of exceptions. The one major exception is the voting age is 18 nationwide. It's complex. That's what happens when you have these two different levels of government.
Okay,
now that I put everybody to sleep. Okay,
but, I think they should have a lot of younger people voting, you know, they're 18. I think a lot of people speak their mind because, you know, everybody's so quiet and nobody knows what the younger viewers want. And then, you know, and then, like, the younger people, and they have riots and stuff, and they complain and this and that, you know, how they can't stand how this is being run and stuff. But, you know, they're not taking a big stand. They don't go and they don't vote. So who are they to say, you know?
Well, I'll say one thing right now. The best way to start is with yourself. I just heard what you said. If you call, and I'm still doing this show, after you're 18, and then you say, well, I obviously it'll be in California. It doesn't matter. Or maybe I'll do a show in California and you'll call. And I say, did you vote in the last election? And you say no. I'll remember it.
But I will. But
you
I
will?
Because, you know, because I have, if I was old enough to vote, you know, I would have no right to say anything, you know, about, you know, how this shouldn't be and that shouldn't be if I didn't even vote myself, you know.
Yep.
If I'm not, you know, if I'm not speaking my mind and if I'm not, you know, voting for what I think is right and what I think should be, then, you know, who am I to say that this is wrong, you know?
Okay. I'll hold you to that. By the way, I have not missed an election since I became eligible. Okay, I have to go back to the rest of the phones now. Okay, actually, I have to take a break. So stick around for a while, have fun, and we'll work from there.
Later.
Yep.
See ya. We're becoming very literate around here, D.H. Lawrence and all. I thought he was going to read something from Lady Chatterley's Lover. Maybe I'll bring the book in next time. In the meantime, the Diesel Queens.
You broke the law. No more.
Coming to 90.1 USB on Saturday, August 6th, starting at 7 p.m., combination of modern ears and the wide world of the noise. Brought to you by the Final Roll Air Dryer people, and featuring the return of the retired Bobby Pin Salesman. This great movement started in 1976 in Cincinnati. Features the Don Moore Quartet and the Pete Rose Five, and many other elements of the noise spectrum. So tune in on August 6th at 7 p.m. exclusively here on 90.1 WUSB in Stone.
Hello, folks. The art of noise. Now, in the art of dead air. Well, you see, I figure if the guys beforehand can do it, why can't I? It's 1 o'clock here on WUSB Stony Brook, the place where unique sounds begin, where we understand sick behavior, and still try to avoid anyway. And we've got somebody here who, I don't know, has earned the vilification of all, and now he's just trying to redeem himself. Hi, Justin.
Yes.
Yes, you got a poem for us?
Yeah, I have a poem for you.
Okay, go for it.
I didn't write it. It's by Rose Feilman.
Okay.
It goes. It's called Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
It goes, Jonathan Gee went out with his cow. He climbed up a tree and sat on a bough. He sat on a bough and broke it in half. And John's old cow did nothing but laugh.
That's it?
That's it. Wasn't it good?
Short.
You want me to read another one?
No, that's fine.
Sure?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, and there's no room on teleconference?
No room.
Oh. Okay, maybe I'll stop by later. It's another poem.
Okay.
All right, sweetie. Bye-bye.
He can't resist. Brain damage.
Yeah, I like Space Invaders. You?
Yeah, the only trouble is, when was the last time I played it? About 1978? Brain damage.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, what's going on?
The topic of logistics. Now, this relates to the moving of the antenna.
Okay.
The radio station.
Okay, go for it.
I was recently on top of the chemistry building, where the present antenna is, I guess?
Yes.
Okay, I was on the 7th floor. And by the way, you know, for anyone that makes their way into the building, you get a nice view when you get to the 7th floor and you walk to the 4th corners, you can see out the window all over Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just curious, if the antenna is going to be moved from there to Bald Hill, it seems to me that it's higher where it is right now compared to Bald Hill.
Yeah, but Bald Hill, the tower, okay, Bald Hill itself may be lower, but the tower, I believe, is still higher. And also, I believe there are fewer things in the way.
Wait, maybe I'm confused. The Bald Hill is where they have the Vietnam Memorial?
Is that where it is?
Because there's a large kind of, it's kind of the shape of a elongated triangle.
Yeah, it looks like an American Music Award, but it has a flag painted on it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Is that where it's going?
Near there. I have not seen the tower myself because I keep forgetting where it is.
Yeah, right. I don't know, because I live in Smithtown, and I'm getting... I live in the basement. I'm getting the station in pretty good. But I'm thinking if it goes all the way out there, and it's not as high, I might not get it that good.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
but
I don't know.
You will have no problem with reception. The people who have good reception now will continue to get it. That's not going to be a problem. Nobody loses anything here. The people who are out in the Hamptons, the people who are our target market, so to speak, because you have a lot of city people coming out for the summer, for the weekends and things like that.
Yeah, right.
Those are the ones who are going to get a lot better reception. I shouldn't say that's WUSB's target market, because Norm will probably deny it. And he should, because it isn't necessarily the only one. That's the market that I personally would like to reach out to, because you want a nice, influential audience, so to speak.
Why don't they pick up an AM? Well, no, maybe not. That's, I mean, that's crazy, but it would...
kill our sound quality, that's for sure. This show wouldn't matter,
yeah.
But for the music shows, it would definitely be a loss.
Yeah, it would travel longer, but the quality wouldn't be as good.
Exactly.
I have a scanner, and I can, believe it or not, I can pick up the USB police on my scanner down here in the basement.
Tell me something. What are they doing? You know what you can do for me?
Yeah.
Record some of it. If you find anything interesting or you find out what they actually do for a living, let me know.
Well, being, you know, I've got, okay, I've got it on the channel right now, and actually there's two channels.
Yeah.
I don't know. You want me to read the megahertz over the air or not?
It doesn't really matter much, because there aren't too many people out here who have the equipment to listen, but go ahead.
Well, all right. Main campus is 460.0500, and there's another channel, which I'll switch to right now, see if there's anything on.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's the walk service.
Oh, okay. That's always interesting, because I had some friends back when I was an undergrad who were with the walk service, and can I get away with this? Guys used to say that we used to call each other, you know, Delta India Charlie Kilos, that kind of thing.
Right. Okay. I don't hear anything coming over the air right now, but
that's usually filled with insults. Dispatch usually dispatches a few insults to the nearest person who can hear, and they yell back. It's their way of keeping in touch.
There's something coming over. Oh, I just missed it.
Terminal 107.
Listening in on the walk service.
Oh, this is actually the police. I guess they made some kind of quick communication. But I always, if you're asking what the police do, usually I see them in one or two spots behind the Schoenberg apartments, those new apartments.
Yeah, the ones behind Kelly.
Yeah, right, exactly. They're, you gotta really watch out, because they're all the way in the back, in the far back end. You know, usually two cars sitting next to each other talking or whatever.
Yeah.
Or they're in that parking lot as you, let's say, as you're coming from the administration going towards G&H Quad, there's a parking lot that's before G&H, that's
mm-hmm.
over to the right.
Right.
Kind of far back.
Near the Encon building.
Yeah, they're, you know, usually hanging out over there, because you don't usually look over that way. You might be, you know, going too fast or going through a stop sign. You know,
yeah. Oh,
that way.
One of my favorites was, I believe this was on a Sunday afternoon a few months, about during the summer, about a month or two ago. A friend of mine coasted through a stop sign, you know, the one that they put up over by G-Quad.
Right.
And the guy just just laid into him. Nobody around for miles. The guy probably hadn't had any human contact his entire shift.
Yeah.
So he starts busting my friend's chops over coasting through the stop sign.
Yeah.
It's
I'm always curious to know.
I'm always thinking, when I see something like that, if I can understand during the academic year when there are people walking around and stuff like that, heavy traffic, I could almost justify it.
Yeah.
But when I see something like that happening, I think, get a job, guys.
Yeah, in the summer, I mean, what? I'm curious to know, like, what if I ran stop sign over near that sewage treatment plant
mm-hmm.
near the 25A exit?
Right.
All right, let's say I run through that stop sign. And the police see me, you know, on campus. I'm wondering, can they actually follow me once I'm off the campus onto, you know, normal residential areas, do they have the, you know...
I believe they do, technically. But I don't think they would necessarily do that because I don't know if anybody would stop for them.
Right, because, you know, I'm always I'm thinking, like, you know, what if I just, you know, coast through there and if I run off campus, are they going to turn around?
Yeah.
Like the Dukes of Hazzard when they go into one county or the other, you know, who knows? These
yeah. Well, these guys.
My friend calls them the Keystone Cops.
Keystone Cops. We called them much worse than that back in my day.
Yeah, well... I don't know, I don't get good feelings from them because much like the police in Nassau County in Suffolk, they're, you know, very effective when it comes to, you know, maintaining police, traffic tickets, parking tickets, they're great at that. But when it comes to deterring crime or, you know, solving crimes, they're not as good. I mean, just look at the Statesman. Every other issue... There's been a theft here, there's been a theft there, you know, this was stolen from here, this was vandalized here, someone was raped here,
mm-hmm.
someone was recently attacked by the overpass
yeah.
in Nichols Road. I mean, they're not a deterrent.
No, they're not. Matter of fact, they've often been the butt of jokes, and I don't know, I think they've improved substantially since I was a student here, but I remember... I was told that back in the 60s and 70s, in the 70s my brother was here, and in the 60s before that, they used to be called moose. One reason why is because they wore brown at the time,
and
the other reason is because they were too dumb to be called pigs.
Oh, man. Yeah, I know. I mean, it's true, though. I mean, last year the Stoller Center was flooded. Was that due to vandalism?
No, the Stoller Center was flooded. I do believe it was because of a water main break.
Oh, all right. Well, still, I mean, there's just too much going on. You know, I did see one policeman on a bicycle, which is a good idea because, you know, you can't be much of a deterrent when you're just driving around the main roads. You got to get in there between, you know, in between the buildings and, you know, where people might get mm-hmm. hurt or whatever. You know, that seemed to be a good idea.
Yeah, but one of my favorites is, well, we're not going to do anything until we get guns. One of my eternal favorites is what happened at a concert that actually, there were a couple of unrelated incidents. I believe one was in 88, and the other one was in 90, or 87, one was in 1990. And one, there was a party in what was once a Tabler Quad cafeteria, that unused building.
Right.
And there was a shooting there. No one got hit, but bullets flew.
Yeah.
And public safety concern. We used to call it public safety back then.
Yeah.
And in some cases, we dropped the L in public. But anyway, because that was kind of what they did most of the time. But anyway, bullets flew.
Whoever was responsible for putting the David Lee in front of the Rothquad years ago. I think that was an act of genius, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That just came into my mind when you said, you know, play around with the letters P-U.
Yeah.
You know, something also comes to mind when you said that was on an episode of Sanford and Son. That guy Grady, Fred's friend, was reading something in the paper. Actually said public, but he said the word, you know, pubic. You know, don't do that in a pubic place.
Right. Anyway.
All right, I'll let you go. I have one request if you could do this.
Sure.
The old advertisement for the station that says, hey, hey, 90.1, that, you know, that jingle type song.
Oh, the sea shanty idea. I don't have it handy, but I can have it for you next time I'm on.
All right, cool.
Now, there is one thing. I do want to go over this a little bit. The shooting incidents where there was a shooting at this party, and also a gun was fired during a rap concert where the lead rapper, the featured artist, showed up 2 hours late. So those two incidents effectively killed concerts at Stony Brook.
Yeah,
and
right.
counter-argument was that there will never be any more concerts until public safety is armed.
Well, yeah, I guess until now they have to wait for Suffolk Police to arrive.
Yeah. But, well, I don't know what's going to happen now with the new president. I don't know what she's going to do. that I have absolutely no idea, no precedent from past behavior or anything like that, because remember, she used to be president of Queens College, where I'm sure the security guards have guns because it's in Queens.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the reality is going to be this time around. I don't know who's going to be in charge or what. I am clueless. I will not know about these things until September.
Well, I mean, you know, if we don't have concerts for the time being, you know, we could have intelligent people like the Dalai Lama was here like 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
Like
Stoller that. Center will continue to function in full vigor because they attract the right element.
Yeah.
Just like James Watt and the Beach Boys. Remember that?
James Watt.
Remember the Interior Secretary that everybody used to make fun of?
Oh, Watt, right.
Yeah, and he dissed the Beach Boys because traditionally they performed on the Mall on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
And he said, well, the Beach Boys attract the wrong element, so I'm bringing in Wayne Newton.
Oh, boy.
And the Reagan's response to that was having the Beach Boys perform at the White House a week later.
Oh,
because, you know, somebody forgot to tell them, the Reagans are from California, folks.
Oh, mentioning the president, looking at a new dollar bill, there's the new $1 bill has a new series started in 1993.
Mm-hmm.
Secretary of the Treasury, Floyd Benson.
Lloyd Benson, yes.
And Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen something.
Oh, Mary Ellen, illegible handwriting?
Yeah, M-I-T-H-R-O-W, something like that.
Yeah. But yeah, Lloyd Benson, the former senator from Texas, who was once once referred to as embalmed during his "You're No Jack Kennedy" debate with Dan Quayle back in '88.
Right. It's some. I noticed the new dollar bill because I noticed the new signatures. You know, the new series.
Uh-huh.
Unlike what's being done on you know, the tens and twenties and the 100 series, the dollar bill does not have a strip through it. You know, that you can see when you hold it up to the light?
Yeah.
You know how the hundreds have that, like, little thin strip that when you hold it up to the light, it says 100, 100, you know.
Yeah, series. Prevents counterfeiting, yeah.
Right. The dollar bill does not have that.
That's right.
The new series, I guess it would be not cost-effective because you make so many of them.
Well, that's one thing. And also there's another debate as to whether or not we should go to a dollar coin, not like the Susan B. Anthony quarter, but something a little more substantial. If you ever get hold of British currency, you'll find that they use a pound coin.
Yeah.
Pound is worth a buck and a half, but it's a nice substantial thing. It feels like a poker chip, and you can feel that in your pocket, no problem. But I did notice something.
Yeah.
I was not, when I was over there, I was not as tight spending them as I would be had it been paper.
Yeah.
That could go both ways.
Well,
the businesses will love it. The consumers won't.
Yeah, I don't know. This American money is pretty boring looking when you look at other. I've got a foreign money collection.
Yeah.
You know, I got money from Asia, Europe, all over. And
mm-hmm.
This American money is just it's just kind of dull looking.
Yeah, but there is one reason why they keep it that way. One very important reason: brand recognition. Everybody in the world knows what a U.S. dollar bill looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's very distinct, you know, subdued colors, you know, black and green.
Yeah.
About it.
And it's almost to the point.
If you ever want to see a work of art, a true work of art, you know, money-wise, look at the Netherlands 50 denomination.
The guilder? The 50 guilder?
The 50 guilder is really, it's incredible. It's got these fields of dandelions and just the way they work it in.
Oh, yeah. I've seen them. They're all different colors.
On the front, it's got this large sunflower with a bee in it. And
mm-hmm.
when you hold it up to light, there's an image of a bee, you know, an outline of a bee.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just the colors. It's just wild looking, you know. It's just
yeah.
very, you know.
Netherlands currency, by the way, folks, it's a different color for each denomination.
Right. The 10 is blue.
Right.
25 is red. 50 is yellow, 100
mm-hmm.
is brown,
mm-hmm.
and beyond that, I don't know.
Yeah, and the higher denominations are actually relatively common because it's somewhere around anywhere between 1.7 and 2 guilders to the dollar.
Yeah.
So 100's worth about 50 bucks.
It's nice, you know, it's a nice country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been there. Yeah, I remember currency. How'd you like to carry currency from 7 different countries in your wallet?
Oh, you did Europe?
I did Europe last year. This time last year.
Mixed up because they're all really colorful. I mean.
Oh no! The biggest problem was mixing German and Swiss. The other ones were all distinctive. You could tell them apart very easily.
Swiss francs
and German marks, because the notes were so similar. I'm still confused. Was the German 20 mark note green and the Swiss 20 franc note blue? I still get confused to this day.
I've got a German 20 right here. It's green.
Hmm?
Got a violin on the back.
Yes. Oh, there's a joke about that. The equivalent of Polish jokes in America are East Frisian jokes in German. How does an East Frisian tell a real 20 mark note from a fake one?
I wouldn't know.
He folds it up, lays it down on the floor, stomps on it a couple of times, picks it up, unfolds it. If the violin's broken, it's fake.
Okay. Yeah.
That's good. Good to share with your coin and currency collector friends.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting things that countries put into money that you don't notice it until you put it under a lens, not a microscope, but a lens, and you try to look at it closely. There's little things in there that you don't notice, right off.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I guess I'll let you get to another caller.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right.
Okay, have a good one. So, let's see what we have here waiting for us. It's 119 here at WUSB, and several things on hand. We still want to stick to that topic, even though no one has addressed it. Come on, folks. I'll even allow for drinking. They do, the people doing the documentary. Hi.
How you doing?
So, you notice something in the hour and 19 minutes we've been on? That no one has addressed the vomiting issue?
Who cares?
People doing this documentary care. I mean, I want good publicity for this show, folks. You know, more good publicity the show gets, the better it is for everybody.
Yo, Matt.
Yeah.
The show's over. Are you going to come on?
Yeah, I guess so.
Bread and butter, too.
What was that? Sounds like something out of a commercial. Okay.
Into the lunchroom when Phil got there. He saw some boys he knew at the front of the line. They waved for him to go up to the front with them.
I know this.
But Phil didn't want to break into line as Mr. Bungle did. Phil went to the end. That was the fair thing to do. He put his knife, fork, and spoon neatly on the tray. And then he slid his tray along.
You know something? This guy, you ever notice something about that voice? He's on all those stupid training films. He was on, get a load of this. Have you taken your 3-hour driving course yet?
5 hours.
It's now 5 hours.
And he knew what else he
wanted. All the gross speed kills videos and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He's on those too.
Matt, you know what that's off of?
What?
Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah. Yeah, he probably dug those things up too. It's the same voice, just like you always sounds like the same voice on Univision, the Spanish language shows, except for the guy who yells goal. Yeah, except for him, they always sounds like it's the same voice. This guy must have made a huge fortune just doing training films. Incredible.
Right.
Yeah.
This is Mike from Quorum talking right now.
Yeah.
The other Mike, that's the one that you thought was me.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're both there now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello.
Who's there?
Me.
Me.
Okay, just want to make sure. I just want to get a good head count here, find out if anybody hung up. But this thing's full. So,
George hung up.
Okay, but, you shouldn't have said that.
That kid lives in Connecticut, right?
Huh?
That kid lives in Connecticut.
Lives in Connecticut?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you can get the station in Connecticut.
Yeah, but it's
pretty good, too. Phone bill.
Well, yeah, but one of the things about USB is you can get it just about everywhere but the city. Nassau, you can't get it. New York City, you can't get it. But you can get it in Scarsdale. I know that for a fact because I tried it. You can get it close to the coast, like New Rochelle, maybe Mount Vernon, those areas, like just above the Bronx. Maybe even the Bronx.
Upstate?
No, not that far up.
Far out east.
How far out east? Theoretically, you should, with a good antenna, you should get all the way out to the end of the island. But I've had complaints of people, you know, near the Hamptons and stuff like that have trouble.
Yeah, they never put on the new antenna Bald Hill.
But we're working on it. It's being constructed.
Matthew.
Yes.
I say hi to a couple people while we're on there.
Go for it.
Let me turn my I want to say hi to Martin, Keith, Jared, Joel, what's out there? Frank, Trisha. I don't know anybody else.
Okay.
Jason.
Okay, I have to go back to the break. I have to do a break now. So I will do that, and then we'll go to more callers. So, guys, hang out, have fun, and I will see you in about a minute or two. This is Brain Damage on WUSB.
The reason the players are so pleasing, the pine will taste not tobacco all the way. Just the best tobacco grown, fine tobacco alone.
Nothing added, nothing taken away.
Fine tobacco, that's the reason the players are so pleasing. Players, please, say players, please.
On 90.1 WUSB Stony Brook, on Sundays at 2:30 p.m., it's time for Jazz on the Air. Jazz on the Air features four rotating hosts who bring you a diversity of music from every corner of the jazz world. That's Sundays at 2:30 p.m., exclusively here on the first station of the 90s, WUSB Stony Brook.
Welcome back to Brain Damage. Time now to 1:26, and I got a whole bunch of people waiting. And actually, I'm going to go to a few people who were waiting before and didn't get to. So, let's see, which one is it? Hi there.
Hi.
Hi. What would you like to talk about tonight?
College life. I don't know if I should go or not. I wanted to know his opinion.
For starters, definitely yes.
Yeah?
Okay. Well, what do you want to do once you finish whatever level of schooling you want to finish?
I wanted to be a forensic pathologist.
Absolutely must, under all conditions, go to college.
Yeah?
Yes.
Didn't know if I should.
Oh, there's no question. You have to. Never become a forensic pathologist.
Well, I know, but if I didn't want to do that, I just wondered what I should do with the rest of my life, because
that,
I don't know how to pay for it.
That I can't do for you. But I can't tell you what to do with the rest of your life, but what I can do is let you in on a few things such as financial aid, student loans, and things like that, which can help you pay for college. Now, there are several colleges around here which aren't all that expensive, such as this one, and that will make life a little easier for you. Where do you live?
Mastic Beach.
Mastic Beach.
Except it's a John Jay College of Criminal Justice, but I didn't know.
That's a state tuition.
I don't know what to expect.
That's state tuition. So it costs the exact same as Stony Brook does. So it was that around $2,100 a year these days or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay, that's not bad, as colleges go. You can borrow, I believe, up to $4,000 a year. Depending on your family's income, you can get government grants that don't have to be paid back. What you have to do is go over there and talk to a financial aid counselor.
They told me that my father makes too much money.
Okay.
So I didn't...
Well, then you can declare financial independence and do stuff like that. There are several options you can work with. Also, if you're into forensic pathology, you can work part-time in crime labs and stuff like that. They do have internships and other jobs available, which might be able to supplement your income. Because I know a couple of friends of mine have done that.
Yeah, they have?
Yeah. I know a friend of mine, well, actually, he volunteers, but there are some, you know, part-time stuff that you can do. But there are several options available, and unfortunately, I can't provide the information because I never went to John Jay, that you have to actually go to the school and find out. Now, what you will be majoring undergrad in forensic pathology?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you'll be taking a lot of bio courses.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be taking a lot of anatomy. It's all science, so you'll be taking a lot of really crazy stuff.
Yeah.
But I will tell you one thing. I have a friend of mine who's in it now. And he loves it.
Yeah?
Yes.
I don't know what to expect from college life, though.
I don't know. John, you'll probably be commuting. Well, you won't be commuting from Mastic Beach, but you'll be living in near the college. So it's going to be like going to school, except that you'll be living on your own.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So your classes are going to be on a much more wide-open schedule. You only meet every other day, whether it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Tuesday and Thursday. You will have some free time in between. Your assignments and things like that will not be followed as closely. You will only get out of it what you put in. You're going to be left, but like in order to survive, you're going to have to do it that way. And many people do, and do so successfully, so it's not without precedent.
I don't know if I could handle that.
There's only one way. Well, if you can't handle that, you're going to have a hard time handling the working world. So you're going to have to deal with it either way. The fact is, in order to do what you want to do, which is, for now at least, forensic pathology, you have to do it that way. There's no other option. Once you realize that this is the way it's got to go, and I'm just going to go and do it, it's going to come a lot easier to you.
I never had a problem with school before, and now that I haven't been doing anything at all, I don't want to go back.
What do you? No, you shouldn't be intimidated by it. The school might be the one thing you enjoy.
Yeah, maybe. I guess I should just try it. But
it's a lot of fun just in analyzing cases and like picking up, finding out who killed somebody based on his footprints. You know what I mean? Matter of fact, among the forensics that I know, by the way, I don't want to get into this. God forbid everybody else has. Among the forensic types I know, they all think O.J. did it, by the way.
So do I.
They all think O.J. did it, but that's another story.
I don't know. I was thinking about becoming a full-time live-in nanny in Manhattan because I hear that they make a lot of money.
You can't do that for the rest of your life.
Money together.
You don't want to do that for the rest of your life. You might want to work as an au pair, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, watch the kids in exchange for your housing.
Yeah.
Where available, a lot of college students do. That would be a good idea because it would keep your housing set at least.
Yeah.
Don't know if you'll be able to find an au pair job in the immediate area. You probably have to do that in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
John Jay is in Manhattan, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, in Manhattan, you'll have no trouble finding a job like that. You might have to be a tutor. I know a friend who teaches at the Lexington School for the Deaf,
mm-hmm.
right? Makes a nice salary at that. Not bad, but, you know, he's a teacher. What he does, he makes his salary over again, being a tutor for a rich family's deaf child.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he makes his salary over again. He makes twice as much. He can afford to live in the village in a very nice place.
Oh, wow. That's my main concern. I don't have any place to stay.
Well, with, well, an au pair, the French, it's a French term. I don't know the literal translation of it, but is, but what the person does, he's a sort of, he or she is a sort of a Charles in Charge. Remember that show?
Yeah.
That's the exact idea. Although the kids won't be as cute.
Yeah.
You won't have one of the girls from Baywatch.
Yeah, right. That would be me.
Yeah.
That would be me.
No, you'd probably have some 16-year-old kid hanging on you all the time. That's what you'd have. But
no, I'm just so confused. And classes start August 29th, and I don't know what to do.
Just do it. Get registered. Get your first...
I am registered. Everything's done. All I have to do is hand in my money and go.
Do it. Find where you got the money?
Yeah.
Do it.
I have the money at least for first semester, all by, like, on my own.
Start, well, the thing is, get that first semester out of your way, because once you get settled into the pattern, things will become a lot clearer to you. Scared the hell out of me, too, walking into college for the first time. This one, in particular. Even though I knew this campus up and down because my brother went here. It was intimidating. Huh?
My family wanted me to go there.
What, Stony Brook?
Yeah.
John Jay might actually be better suited to what you want to do.
Yeah, I know.
So, and also, it's in Manhattan. And, man, if you can't find a way to have a good time in Manhattan...
No. The city, it's just... I don't know if I want to go to school.
Get the first semester in, check out the courses, sit through the courses, and you, if you're into the idea... If you're into that kind of thing, if you're into... forensics.
Dead bodies.
Yes, if you're into dead bodies, if you're a necrophile, if you're a necrophile, I'm exaggerating a bit, but if you're into that, it won't seem like school.
I hope not. I've been there, and I like the people there, and I love the city. I go there almost every couple of weekends. I go there.
Take my word for it. You're going to love it. You're scared now because you don't know what to expect. But once you get settled into the rhythm, I guarantee you will love it. And you know what I want you to do? Once you're in there a few weeks, even though you're probably going to be living in the city, call the show.
All right.
Even though you won't be able to listen to us, call anyway.
Well, I can call from out here.
Yeah. Tell me how things are going.
All right.
Okay?
Yep.
Great.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye.
Odd Couple.
Yeah, I like to sing a song, okay?
Yes.
Here we go.
You're not singing. Brain damage.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi, you gotta turn your radio down.
All right. I'll just walk away from it.
Okay, just gotta do that because of the 7-second delay. I can hear what I just said.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
How are you?
Much better, thanks.
All right. Just calling to say that it's my first time listening to Brain Damage.
Okay, so what do you think so far?
I really like it. You know, you talk about a lot of interesting stuff.
Yeah, it's the listeners who bring it up, so I just react.
I'm going to be listening from now on, just to let you know.
Good. Now, I'm just trying to think when we last talked. You wanted to talk about the prevailing topic or something else?
Nothing.
You wanted to talk about nothing?
No, I just wanted to. That's all I wanted to
say. Oh, we can do that, too. I mean, Seinfeld can make millions of dollars off it. Why can't we? Okay, thanks for listening.
Okay.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Brain Damage.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah.
Hi, Rob Holt.
Yes.
One day when I had a stomach virus.
Yep.
It was really weird, right?
Mm-hmm.
It won't take long because I got people here who want to talk also for a little while.
Go for it.
I threw up, and it was good because my intestines had, like, this sort of thing. I don't remember what it was. And when I threw up, my stomach was unclogged, and I felt a lot better. And it was good.
Okay.
Hold on. I got someone who wants to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Hello?
Yes.
Hello? Yeah, you got Tony Thomas here from Bayshore.
Maybe.
Yeah, this is him.
Okay, prove it to me.
I got a song about cake.
Okay, go for it.
Okay.
I keep saying that, don't I? Go.
What?
Go. Do it.
You sound like a Nike commercial. We're just doing it to the college girl, yeah. All right, ready?
Yeah.
I love cake, no matter what it is. Give me some cake, 'cause cake is the biz. Let's see what kind of cake.
I only go for the real thing. Brain damage.
How you doing? That guy is not Tony Thomas.
I know it isn't.
He's just like, he's trying to be a fake in it, and I don't like it.
I hate when that happens, don't you? When somebody comes up with a really good character and then everybody tries to copy it.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. It's disgusting.
Yep.
Also, what happened? I was telling you about vomiting.
Yeah.
Wait, am I on the air now?
Yes, you are.
Oh, jeez. I've never been on the air before.
You are now, so make the best of it.
Hi, everybody. Also, my friend, like, throws up a lot, because he says that he's going to be skinny one day, because, like, he's really fat.
Oh, he's bulimic.
I'm not sure. I told him that he's bulimic, and he told him it's nonsense.
I guess guys can get it. Go ahead.
Also, my friend, wrote a song, and it's with the guitarist of Green Day.
Yeah.
It's all for Tony Thomas, because, like, you know, he's our inspiration, Tony Thomas, because, like, actually, he's one of our closest friends.
Yeah, it takes current songs and rewrites them.
All right, you want to hear us?
Go for it.
All righty, go. All right, ready? Tell
yes.
me if you hear this.
Keep going. Go. Yes, I can hear it.
Do you have the time to listen to Goldar? He will think about your mind and body. He will take a stool and do it in a bun. He will damage you all that he can. Turn your finger into shreds. He make you piss onto your bed. Think it's all about the blood comes shooting out. Everybody's going to the big game. Grasping to your throat, driving down the new day.
Huh?
So what do you think of it?
Well, yeah, I just need a little bit more accompaniment, and I think it'll be a hit.
Really?
Yeah.
It's just a basket case.
Oh, okay.
Did you hear the Green Day?
Yeah.
You like it?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
All right.
Gotta go, though.
Yeah, all right. Thanks a lot, dude.
Okay. So, this ends another round in this long-running epic known as Brain Damage. Let's see, what do we have here coming up? Coming up, we got a lot more calls. Coming up, we got a lot more of other things, too. I only got 20 minutes to do it in. 1:40 here on WUSB. You know the name of the show. Unfortunately, there's no point giving the phone number because all the lines are filled. Is that a good thing? We shall find out. All that and more in just a minute or two.
This is Dave Parris of Star Wars, and you too can learn the true power of the Force if you listen to Destinies, the voice of science fiction, every Friday, 11:30 p.m. on 90.1 FM, WUSB, Stony Brook. May the Force be with you.
This is Adam West of Batman, and you too can feel like a hero if you listen to Destinies, the voice of science fiction, every Friday at 11:30 p.m. on 90.1 FM, WUSB, Stony Brook. Same bat time, same bat station.
Hi there. Welcome back. Got a couple of people to talk to, one with a useless fact. Hello.
Yeah, hi. Time for another useless fact.
Yeah.
Eskimos have over 112 words for ice, but no words for hello.
What do they use?
They use nothing. They just greet each other.
Oh, okay.
They have words for ice, shapes, sizes, and uses. This has been another useless fact.
Maybe we'll find some use for it later.
Thank you.
Brain damage.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi, I'm on the air.
Yes, you are.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I was watching something that says the way the population keeps getting older, the money is, like, being drained out of the economy, and it's going to be ruined by the time, like for young people.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I call it the X generation.
Yeah, there's only one problem, though. Every time we predict something like that, something gets in the way that keeps it from happening. I'll give you one example. Baby boomers. You know, the ones that we that keep saying we're lazy, and we keep saying they're full of it. The those people, how much you want to bet that most of them are going to work till they're 80?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah, that's one thing we got going for us, is that we got a bunch of people who don't want to end up like their parents, so they're going to say, I'm not going to retire and become play shuffleboard and live in a nursing home. No, not me. I'm going to work till I die. And we say, good, you don't draw Social Security that way. And maybe that'll happen. Could you imagine baby boomers in nursing homes? Could you imagine the Woodstock generation? Could you...
Can you see, like, past, like, 2000? Like, there's so many disasters happening now.
No, but could you imagine the Woodstock generation all senile and shriveled up and playing shuffleboard and, you know... doing the things that old people are stereotyped to do. I mean, even today's old people, quote-unquote, don't fit that stereotype necessarily. Could you imagine what the baby boomers are going to be like?
Oh, look at David Crosby or Jerry Garcia.
Could you imagine? I mean, Jerry Garcia already looks like he's 70, but Jerry Garcia at 80? Provide, of course, all the LSD and stuff doesn't catch up to them before then. That's another thing we got going for us, too. All the drugs they did are eventually going to come up with them. You think they're going to make it to 70?
Yeah. But I'm switching over to sports. The Raiders are on tomorrow. It's kind of cool.
Really? Who are they playing?
The Broncos.
Raiders and the Broncos?
Like Spain or something.
Yeah, we get to see Jeff Hostetler, what the Giants passed up.
Yeah, I guess Dave Brown looked kind of good tonight.
So I've heard, yeah. When I left to do this show, it was 14-9 in favor of the Giants. I think it was the final.
I'm not sure the final. I just saw, like, when he was in the beginning.
Yeah. Now, of course, that's up against the Dolphins in Giants Stadium. It's the first preseason game of the year. So we know how good the Jets' preseasons have been, and their regular seasons have not been. So we have to... keep our reservations, so to speak.
Be on the sports show tomorrow?
I probably will not be because I'm taking an early flight out the following morning.
Oh, so do you guys think there's most likely going to be a strike this year in baseball?
The way things stand now, we most certainly think there's going to be one. How long it's going to be, we hope not very. I remember one time, remember the 1990 baseball strike?
I think so. I mean, that was like a lockout, actually, I think.
No, I'm sorry, it was 87. There was a very brief baseball strike. It was less than 24 hours. It's the one that everybody forgot. Matter of fact, it was so brief that none of the games were lost. They were all made up. Whatever games were missed were made up. So, and also the lockout forced the season to start a week later, and those games were made up. So I get the feeling that unless these people remain as intransigent as they are, it's going to be a short strike.
I don't know, because the Yankees are finally going to win and get in their postseason this year.
Yeah, and the last time the Yankees won anything was during a strike season.
81.
Yes. That's because they were in first at the time of the strike, kind of like what they might end up doing now.
Mm. Well, we don't have conference call tonight, dude.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's full.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, gotta go, but call tomorrow night.
Okay, cool.
See ya. Okay, let's see what we got going here. Brain damage.
I am on the side.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, 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 yes. Let's see. Gotta put a couple of things together here. Hang on. So, what else do we have going on WUSB? Other shows? Yeah, plenty of them. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Incredible, ain't it? One of the things I hate about these 7 inches is that you're never sure what the speed is. Okay, does the big hole necessarily mean that it's 45 or what? And here's one that's really cool. Remember the Roulette record label? That's the one that Tommy James and the Shondells were on, and let's see, a few others. This one seems to be a copy of that. Okay, just trying to get things straightened out here. Okay, so this is definitely not 33. I'm weak. Brain damage, 147. So the song runs out or you won't get on. You ever play a 45 record without the little doohickey in the middle, the spacer, and it's slightly off-center on the turntable, so it goes... Really cool effect. I just did that with this one. So I don't really know how this record sounds normally. But it sounded cool before. The New Bomb Turks, the name of the band. The name of the record was I'm Weak. So, 151. 9 minutes left. 2 people waiting. And I warn people, call during the song so you get on. But nobody listens to me. So, we talk. Brain damage.
Yeah, hi, what's up?
Yeah.
Do you mind if I use your last name on the show?
Please don't.
Okay, no problem. How are you doing tonight?
Fine.
I have a commentary on your show.
Go ahead.
Okay, the poetry guy.
Yeah.
He read on torture.
Uh-huh.
That was not a good article, I don't think.
Why?
Because, I don't know, the guy read it good, yeah. He's a good reader and all that. But, the article was like, we should torture people, and I don't think we should.
Yeah, it's a matter of opinion. And, he made a good argument, the person who wrote the article.
That was in 1980, and that guy said that pretty soon we'll be faced with a disaster where tens of thousands of people will be held up, and that never really happened, did it?
Well, at least it didn't happen now.
It didn't happen, and it's, what, 14 years later?
Could have happened.
Yeah.
World Trade Center?
World Trade Center, that was a joke.
Oh, wasn't such a joke if you were in it.
Well, I was.
You were?
Well, on, like, one of the top floors.
Oh, when the bomb went off?
Yes.
Really, how'd it feel?
It was chaos, but not on our levels. Like, we just felt like people shaking. There was, like, nothing going on.
Tell me something. What if the bomb were bigger?
If the bomb were bigger, big enough, the whole building would be destroyed and I wouldn't be wasting the time.
Yeah, but on the other hand, we don't want that stuff to happen.
Yeah, of course. There's only an insane moron would do that.
Well, you had a whole bunch of insane morons who were doing it this time.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, the insane morons who put the bomb under the thing in the first place.
But how can you, like, say they're morons? I mean, they're...
Well, because the way they put the thing together was...
Oh, and you could do better?
Could I do better?
Yeah, could you do better?
Would I do better is the question.
Can you do a better bomb to blow up the World Trade Center?
Yeah, I can build a nuke, dude.
Really?
Yeah, only trouble is I can't get the fissionable material, which is the same problem everybody else has.
What did you major in?
Physics.
What kind of physics?
General physics, but I do know enough about making bombs. Anybody who can read a book can make an atomic bomb.
So these, ethnically, I will not mention their ethnic heritage over the air, but...
Anybody who can read a book can make a bomb. There's nothing to do with ethnicity, nothing to do with anything but literacy.
You're saying that these people were illiterate?
No. I'm saying they couldn't get the fissionable material to make a real bomb.
Well,
they
get that stuff?
Huh? They were dumb.
Get that stuff?
fertilizer.
Question.
What?
What happened to Eric? Is he dead or something?
No, Eric is very much alive.
Then how come he's not doing brain damage?
Because he's busy doing other stuff in his life, which he considers more important.
He hasn't been on since the first week of May, when Richie Nixon died.
You're kidding. That
I
long?
His last show was Richard Nixon's tribute.
You know, he must still be mourning Nixon.
I don't know. I sung a song on his show and he said it was good. Do you want to hear it?
Go for it.
All right. It's about Richard Nixon. Hold on. Let me just spit out my gum.
Probably sound better with it in.
Ready?
Yes.
Richard Millis Nixon, 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 Richard Millis Nixon. Hello?
That's it?
Yeah, he liked it.
Okay.
Eric, I think Eric hasn't done the show in a while because he doesn't want to. Were you on last week?
Yes.
Really? What about that guy, Ryan Williams?
He filled in for me several weeks ago.
He's a freak.
He is. Didn't know that.
And he's like, oh, did I do that? Oops. The FCC is going to get me there for that. Yeah, right. That's what he said. And he had people rapping on the air. Like, the whole last half of the show was a rap-a-thon. People were cursing like crazy. And they had a space robot debate. And that was stupid. And something else.
Why couldn't you just copy Stern and have a lesbian dial-a-date or something?
Well, there was also, like, a bunch of people with prank calls. You know, they played them on the air.
Yeah.
Like, freaks.
Right.
There were a bunch of the usual prank calls, which I haven't heard many prank calls today.
Good.
You know what's that? Why are you screening the calls? That's why.
That's right.
You had 20 minutes of the show to screen calls, and you maybe add 5 minutes for free of prank calls.
That's right.
So usually, like, 30 minutes of the show is prank calls. You waste 20 minutes screening them, so you save 10 minutes.
Well, yeah, that's a net savings. And the amount of aggravation and anger and stuff like that is beyond measuring. The amount of anger saved is beyond measuring.
Who's going to be on next week?
Let's see. I think I'm not sure. It's down to three people, and there's really no point reciting their names because I don't know which one's going to do it.
What's with that Justin Taylor freak?
Oh.
What's with that poem? Do you think people are going to like him now because he said a poem about a cow and a branch? That was the worst thing I've ever heard.
He's trying desperately to redeem himself.
He's not. He just wants to get on the air and hear himself talk.
That too.
He's in my school, and he's a freak. Hear him in school, what he says, stupid things to his teacher.
He does?
Yeah, he's like...
You mean I'm not the only one who says stupid things to?
No. He has the teacher that if he goes and floods the bathroom, will he go get in trouble to the principal? He interrupts class for that.
Obviously in desperate need of attention.
Desperate need of attention, desperate need of mental help. Can I recommend a good therapist to him?
Well, yeah, I guess so.
All right. Here's his number, ready? His name is Benjamin Rose, R-O-A-S-E. Got it?
Yeah.
And his number is 1-800-472-3891, all right?
An 800 number, no less.
Yes, he's very esteemed. He's one of my, he's my friend's father, so that's why I'm plugging for him.
Well, he's a psychiatrist?
Yes, he is.
He is. He's a psychiatrist. That's right. We advertise psychiatrists on brain damage.
Yes, you do. And may
sure,
I add
as well, we should.
Room.
Go ahead.
It's good. But you need something different.
How different?
The next time you come on, right?
Yes.
Do stupid human tricks.
Do stupid human tricks on the radio?
Yep.
Isn't there a visual element that's needed for that?
You what?
Isn't there a visual element needed for that?
But the guy can say what he's doing. Like, right now, I'll do one. Ready?
Oh, come on. I never really liked phone sex that much for that reason.
I am standing on a basketball, balancing a comb on my nose with my hands out in the air. Whoa. Whoa.
Whoopee.
Isn't that good?
Nah.
That makes your show a lot better.
I guess so. I think the fact that one thing that makes my show a whole lot better is that there's only 1 minute left in it. Gotta go. I have another caller waiting, I promised. Okay. Brain damage.
Hi, Don.
Turn your radio down. Turn your radio down.
No, hi, Don. What is that blasted music that was playing before?
Oh, blasted music? Oh, it was blasted. It was from the new Bomb Turks. It was really blasted.
Please don't make fun of my accent. I don't like it.
Oh, where are you from?
I'm from London. Lou?
Where?
London.
London?
Yes.
You sound more like you're from Liverpool.
Liverpool? No.
It's Liverpool. You have that little inflection at the end.
No.
I just saw a yellow submarine. No. It's Liverpool.
Oh, sorry,
it's Liverpool.
You're disrespecting me. I don't like it. I will go good after you. Oi! Are you listening to me?
I am listening.
Gunther will take you in your mind. How can you have more pudding if you don't eat your meat? You're the little pixie sticks. With the little pixie sticks, he will take you in your mind. He will take you in your body, and he will take you out your food. Because you can't have more meat if you don't eat your pudding. Thank you very much.
You're
Thank
quite
you, Mr.
welcome.
Matthew.
Thank you very much. A good prank call? Incredible. It's 2:01. I went over a minute, and Kenyon is waiting with the furthest sense. This is WUSB Stony Brook, the place where wire underwear seriously binds or something like that. We gotta come up with something better. Anyway, that's it. I'm out of here. See you on August 20th. In the meantime, bear with it.